Hello and welcome to the first episode of 5-Minute Finance. I'm your host, Lance Keaton. Today, I'm going to be talking about student loans. If you've read anything about them lately, you'll know that there's a crisis afoot. Despite their pervasiveness, student loans are in fact somewhat of a recent invention. Federal student loans originated with the Higher Education Act of 1965 to help students from low-income families pay for college. Since then, student loans have skyrocketed in their popularity. Nowadays, 70% of undergraduate students have loans, and there are $1.5 trillion of outstanding student loans, making them the second highest form of debt in the United States behind mortgages. The current state of student loans has many experts worried that an economic bubble is forming, and that the United States is heading towards a recession similar to the one in 2008 caused by subprime mortgages. There's actually a lot of evidence that there is a bubble. For one thing, from 2005 to 2015, the amount of outstanding student loans tripled, and about 30% of student loans are either not being paid off or in default. Despite these alarming numbers, it's actually very unlikely that any student loan bubble will pop due to a special aspect of student loans. As of 1998, student loans are the only type of debt which is not readily discharged in bankruptcy. In order to have student loans discharged, the debtor has to sue the federal government and prove that repaying the loans will cause them undue hardship. It is so difficult to have student loans discharged, in fact, that it is said to be impossible. Part of the reason why it is so hard to have them discharged is that neither Congress nor the Supreme Court have defined what counts as undue hardship. The case used as legal precedent for defining undue hardship involved a woman who was bankrupt, in debt, and unemployed. In her case, the fact that she was employable in the future meant that her loans still had to be repaid. Despite its perceived impossibility, of the 217 people who attempted to discharge their student loans in 2007, 81 received at least a partial discharge. It should be noted that in the same year, 169,774 student loan debtors filed for bankruptcy. Expanding both the ability and knowledge of the possibility of discharging student loans in bankruptcy is one possible step on the path to remedy the student loan crisis. It has been proposed that if students can have their loans discharged, making them no longer guaranteed, it will force colleges to focus on more in-demand careers and majors and cutting costs to ensure their loan repayment. There are certainly unforeseen circumstances that will arise from this proposal, but it has gained popularity as of late. Even Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, recently said,
"We don't allow student loan debt to be discharged in bankruptcy.
Right.
I'd be at a loss to explain why that should be the case."
In a meeting with the Senate Banking Committee in March 2018. After this quick commercial break, I will get into another more well-known proposal called income-based repayment. You know him, you love him, the Department of Education Direct Student Loan Program. With low interest rates from 5.05 to 7.6% and average payments of $393 a month for 10 years, join the 44.7 million Americans with student loans today. Fill out your FAFSA, but hurry up, prices are rising. Welcome back to 5-Minute Finance. Before the break, I was talking about the lore and proposals around discharging student loans in bankruptcy. Now, that is a potential solution that has been proposed, but there are far more popular solutions to the student loan crisis. By far the most popular is called income-based repayment. IBR was originally proposed in the 60s under the name Pay-as-You-Earn. The original proposal involved those who enrolled paying higher taxes, which would be calculated based on their income and amount of loans, which they would pay for the rest of their life. This proposal was not very popular, but it was continually changed and improved until a version under the name IBR was passed in 2007 and then revised in 2010. Currently, IBR is only a repayment option for people who are delinquent or in default on their loans. Unlike the standard repayment plan, which involves 10 years of fixed payments, IBR involves paying 10% of your income above 150% of the federal poverty guidelines for 20 years. If the balance is paid off before the 20 years are up, then repayments stop. Otherwise, the remaining balance on the loan is forgiven. Income-based repayment is an extremely effective repayment plan. It has been shown that merely entering IBR reduced delinquency rates on loans by 21% to almost zero. Currently, only about 11% of borrowers are paying back their loans this way. For people who are having no trouble paying back their loans, this repayment plan doesn't make sense, but it can be an extremely helpful tool for those who are struggling to pay down their loans. Proponents of IBR have suggested making some changes, such as auto-enrollment, a more robust collection system, and making enrollment in the system easier to navigate, to make IBR a more widely used tool. If you're a student now or you're struggling to pay off your student loans, you should keep these two solutions in mind. Between the two, IBR is more likely to work and help. but I urge you to look into alternate repayment options to help both you and the country avoid crisis. This has been episode 1 of 5 Minute Finance. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next time.
Research shows you do start to see longer-term negative effects on people who can't pay off their student loans, and it hurts their credit rating, and it impacts the entire path of their economic